Since the 1960s, Marvin Laird has conducted or written dance and vocal arrangements for over two dozen Broadway and West End shows, including the award-winning production of Annie Get Your Gun and the 2003 Broadway revival of Gypsy, both starring Ms. Bernadette Peters, who he will perform with on the SPAC stage tonight. In the early 60s, he was assistant conductor for a national tour of Gypsy, which also featured a child actress named Bernadette Peters. The rest, they say, is history. Footnotes to that history include Mr. Laird's writing dance music for two Academy Award films, Hello, Dolly! And New York, New York, scoring Dynasty, The Love Boat, and Quincy. His musical Ruthless, co-written with Joel Paley, is currently running off-Broadway. Marvin Laird will be on stage with Bernadette Peters tonight, as will drummer Cubby O'Brien. Cubby has been playing drums for Bernadette Peters since 1968. He also accompanied numerous other mega talents, including Debbie Reynolds, Connie Francis, Ben Vereen, and many others. Oh, and he was an original Mouseketeer on the Mickey Mouse Club. We are more than a little excited. Marvin Laird and Cubby O'Brien, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Great to be here.
Wonderful having the chance. We're having a lovely time here in Sarasota.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. So when you come in and you do something like this with Bernadette Peters, you're pretty much, are you always on the road working with her in one? I mean, it would seem to me this is your busy time.
Well, Bernadette has other things happening in her life. She's got a series that she's shooting as well.
And yeah. So, Mozart in the Jungle.
Yes, indeed. So she knows all about symphony orchestras, in fact. She gets stern with them in the show. We don't spend a lot of time out on the road. She'll do maybe a couple of these a month. So with a rehearsal day and the performance day and a couple of days travel on the other side, that's enough time being spent out of the city.
So give me a sense of how you the two of you come in, and because you'll be conducting tonight,
yes,
right, when she is on stage.
Correct.
So how do you come in and then integrate yourself into the orchestra?
Well, it's said that music is the international language, and it's pretty true. If we have, as certainly is the case today, skilled musicians sitting in front of music that they can all read, then it's pretty simple. They watch me, I give downbeats and say, a little too loud, maybe not quite loud enough. And it's a joy. I mean, I've been making music since I was 4 years old, never looked back, never did anything else. So,
what were you doing when you were 4 years old?
Well, I went to kindergarten, my first day of kindergarten, and Mrs. Waddell, the teacher, that played the piano. We all had to carry our little chairs around the room, and I thought, oh, I like what she does.
And my dad was a big band drummer back
was
here
he?
In New York. And I started taking lessons from him when I was five. So I've been playing since...
And you grew up in New York City?
Nope, I grew up in Los Angeles.
Ah.
My parents moved out to the West Coast in 1945, and I was born in 1946.
Yeah, I remember my dad. I'm very old, but I remember my dad taking me down to hear, the great drummers. They played in these sort of open venues. I mean, there were sort of jazz joints,
uh-huh,
and you could hear, if you stood outside, you could hear them,
like Gene Krupa,
yeah, like
Buddy Rich.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Yeah,
it's exactly right.
And when did you start your interest in drumming? Started even before you were a Mouseketeer?
Oh yeah, I was playing when I was five. The Mouseketeers was I was nine on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Really, you were 9 years old?
Yeah,
yeah. I was watching video this morning of you and Walt, and that's just is how do you look back on that?
Is that really me? I mean, it was pretty exciting to actually work with the great Walt Disney, for a 9 year old to be standing here with Walt Disney. You know,
yeah,
it was amazing.
And you were, and being one of the original Mouseketeers,
right?
Of how were they cast? How did you get that?
I auditioned a couple of times at Disney Studios. I was playing in a little Dixieland band. My dad had put together this little Dixieland band at a music studio that he was teaching drums at, and they got the kids together that were learning how to play the trumpet or the saxophone or the piano pretty well, and they put this, yeah, little band together. So we would do little benefit shows around Los Angeles, like Rotary Clubs and whatever, and I did one benefit show for the Screen Actors Guild, And there were some producers there at Disney Studios, and they invited me down to audition. And so I went down to Disney Studios and played a drum solo and got the show.
Anything we don't know about the Mouseketeers you want to tell us now?
No. Everybody was sweet.
Do you still have the shirt? Who has the shirt?
My actual Mouseketeer uniform is in Orlando someplace. They have it set up.
Oh, is it like in a museum
setting?
Yeah,
like a museum setting, yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So how did you two meet up and get together?
We met on a TV special called G.I.T. on Broadway, Getting It Together on Broadway. It was the last time that Diana Ross appeared with Supremes, and then we also had the Temptations on that. And I was doing the
Carol Burnett Show at the time, and I was also the musical director for the Broadway show Hair at the Aquarius Theater in Los Angeles.
God, you were busy. How'd you find time to do that special?
I think it wasn't Earl Brown that suggested, right?
One of the great vocal arrangers of all time.
So he had known about me from the Carol Burnett show, and I was kind of doing a contemporary show, and they needed more of a contemporary drummer than the drummer that was on staff at NBC at the time. So they asked me to come over and do this show, and that's where I met Marvin.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you go out with Bernadette Peters, how many other musicians will she bring with her to an event like this?
Just a bass player, so it's just the three of us. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, we will be doing, when our dates are smaller groups than symphonies, for example, or 30 pieces, we have a nucleus, one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast that will comprise the 11 or 12 men that we do these smaller gigs with.
But a lot of the time it's just Marvin and I. Sometimes we don't even carry a bass player with us. But mm-hmm. So we go into a situation like this with just the two of us.
So what is that experience like? Tell us a little bit about it.
Horrifying. It's just terrible. Allahs are a mess.
When they're great musicians like this, it's easy.
Well, I'm interested in working with Bernadette Peters. What it's like for you to work with?
Let the record show they're both staring at Joe. Are you out of your mind?
Huh? Yeah, she's magnificent. I mean, she's a great person. There's six of us that travel with her, and we've all been with her for 35 years or more. I mean, so what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's a wonderful experience.
It's a great experience. She's very loyal to all of us. She trusts us all. We make sure everything is ready for her, and the music is ready, and the lights are ready, and the sound is ready. And so she's a great person.
Anything ever go wrong over the years?
Well, the obvious things, something gets a light bulb will pop or something.
Yeah.
But no, the thing about what Cubby just said, that she trusts us and we trust her, really it is about trust, because Bernadette is probably one of the most in-the-moment artists I've ever worked with.
So, meaning
that she will allow whatever scenario she paints emotionally that will inspire her to deal with a lyric that she may have sung 10 years or more. Each time she makes it new for her. So that may mean, especially on ballads, that we're not taking it exactly the same tempo that we took it the last time we did it. And some sort of inspiration or something that she feels in that moment allows her to go do something else.
But when she does that,
we go with her.
You got to go with her.
Yeah, betcha. And that's what all that trust and being with each other for the last 50 years really means.
And you look at each other, and is that how it works?
Absolutely.
Well, we don't. Oh, you mean the two of us?
We're the
only ones that look, because we're behind her.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I had never conducted Bernadette from the front until we did until we did Gypsy. And I was, because even when we performed Annie Get Your Gun, we were all on stage as part of what was supposed to represent the Wild Bill orchestra. And so I, knowing that she is a very compelling performer to watch, I was kind of worried coming up on the Gypsy experience that I would be distracted knowing that I'm staring up and watching this woman who people pay a lot of money to come see it. I get it for free, and I thought, ooh, am I going to be able to get through this without just gawking?
The very first time I met and saw Bernadette perform was on the Carol Burnett Show, and we were in a side room. I had been rehearsed Monday through Thursday with the dancers and the singers, and then on Thursday night we did a pre-record, and on Friday we would do two tapings. And I had a TV screen in front of me so I can watch what's going on, and Bernadette was singing, and the tears were coming down her cheeks. And
really?
I just looked at her, and I was just blown away with the emotion and the talent that she had. And we've been friends ever since and worked together ever since.
One last question about the Musketeers, if I may, and that is every once in a while one of them gets into trouble or somebody dies or something like that. How personal is that for you?
There's probably 10 of us that are pretty close. We've stayed close through the years. We've done lots of different things for Disney, different venues. I've been doing some of the cruise ships. I do a presentation on Disney Cruise Line.
Interesting.
With one of the other Musketeers. We show film, we talk about it, and I play drums, and so, I mean, there's, like I said, about 10 of us that are very close, like Tommy and Sharon and Karen and myself and Doreen, Darlene, we're pretty close.
Wow.
So, we know each other's families.
So if something goes wrong, you're empathetic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about the career path of what you look for in a gig, of what you want to do working now. I mean, it's music. You obviously want to be a drummer, and what are you looking for? I mean, obviously you're committed to Bernadette Peters, and then there's other projects as well.
Right now I don't do very many other projects. I mean, if Marvin, if I might do something with Ruthless. If Marvin did something, if Bernadette did another show on Broadway, I'd probably go back to New York and do it if Marvin was conducting. So those kind of things, yes. But at my age, I'm 69, just turned 69. I'm living outside of Portland, Oregon, and doing two or three gigs with Bernadette a month or every other month or whatever it is just perfect for me.
Tell us about Ruthless.
Gosh, I had no idea you were that old. You're really an Alticocker, aren't you?
Well, you're 75.
76 next month. Ruthless is now running off-Broadway. It's something that my collaborator Joel Paley and I wrote. And actually, when we first met, I was conducting a special for Shirley MacLaine. And she had just seen this new group that had formed called the Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. She had just seen them at Royce Hall before we started work on this special. And she wanted to have the company on stage, or on the show. So Shirley and Alan Johnson, who was choreographing the special, and George Slaughter and I all went to New York to time the segment that they would be doing, and we met all of this group personally when we went to their rehearsal studio. And I was watching this one guy who I thought had the funniest subtext. The Ballet Trocadero is all about subtext. It's what little things are going on between the ballerinas, not necessarily the story. They're not really telling the story of Swan Lake, although they do take the classical ballet very seriously, but it's a satirical point of view. And I thought he had the funniest story to tell from his mind. So I singled him out and said, let's go have lunch. And because I wanted to know how he approached comedically something as serious as classical ballet. And he told me about an idea that he had to do a musical version of The Bad Seed. And The Bad Seed was always one of my favorite plays. And we actually started writing it at that time. And that was 39 years in November that we've been together. And we started writing this version. It was called Seedy at the time, but because we could never get the rights to the original Bad Seed, because Mrs. Maxwell Anderson was still alive and in there. Tooth and Toenail saying, "You'll never get the rights. You'll never make fun of my husband's work." But we didn't want to make fun of it because we both adored it. You can only satirize something that you really love, and that was what we wanted to do. So we were told by Tom Hammond, who was Bernadette's manager for many years. He said, "Well, you know, you don't have to get the rights a lot of times. When now that the advent of Saturday Night Live arrived,
and parody,
parody, you parody more than one entity in a piece, and you don't have to get the rights." So we just stepped on it and put a few other of our favorite things in it, and it tells a tale of in The Bad Seed. The little girl kills her fellow classmate for a penmanship medal that she felt gypped out of, so she wanted to get it from him. In
How different was the show from the movie?
Pardon me?
How different was the show from the movie?
Well, this was one of the only movie that was made with the original Broadway cast. They took them all out to...
Patty McCormick.
Yeah, Patty McCormick and... Nancy, I'm going to forget Nancy's last name. Sorry, Nancy.
He's looking into the sky. So Nancy's dead and won't hear it, so that's okay.
And Ann's not with us. But they brought everybody out and filmed it basically word for word. They opened
movie.
It up a bit just scenically. But, it was a wonderful piece. And our little girl kills her fellow classmate because she wanted the lead in Pippi in Tahiti, the musical. And so there's more than one way to skin a cat for our little diva. But we're having a lot of fun. The audiences are just loving this. We have discovered a wonderful new talent in this girl named Tori Murray. She is a 10-year-old with a set of 40-year-old vocal pipes. It's amazing. We had in our original presentation in 1992, Laura Bell Bundy, who went on then to star in Legally Blonde on Broadway. We had I knew I was going to forget these people. Who's that young girl who's always in trouble?
Britney Spears
was
her
understudy.
Oh, that young girl who's always in trouble.
Natalie Portman was one of the other understudies. So it's launched a lot of careers, and this next career, the Tori Murray career, is going to be a hot one. So that's all I can really tell you. I'm exhausted now.
And by the way... it was Nancy Kelly just.
Nancy Kelly. Yeah. I saw you busily at work with your finger.
No, he does it. He can find anything.
She just emailed me from heaven and said, it's me.
There are no secrets anymore now that we cosmically can contact the dead.
Right. Marvin Laird will conduct a program featuring soloist Bernadette Peters tonight at SPAC. Drummer Cubby O'Brien will perform as well. Gentlemen, I can't tell you how much of a thrill it's been to speak with you and to have you here.
It's great. Thank you very much.
A lovely time, too. Thanks.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Saratoga Performing Arts Center on WAMC.